This is Nursing in America. Each week we speak with incredible nurses who have taken the leap to start a new life in the United States. If you're thinking about doing the same, then this is the place you'll find all the insider knowledge and inspirational success stories to realize your own American dream. This is the second part of a two-part episode, so make sure you go back and listen to part one first.
Richard, you help a lot of spouses with their resumes. What are some tips and advice that you can give spouses as well?
Well, first off, I would definitely second exactly what Ms. Miata said. At this era of career search, you know, recruiters are really looking not for a resume that says, I did A, B, and C. They're really looking for a story. You're creating a story and you're the protagonist therein. So it's not that I punched the clock and then I shuffled this and then I punched out. I came to work. I saw these challenges. I was able to overcome these challenges by doing these exact steps. So you're actually putting measurable metrics to the board. And that really catches the hiring manager's eye. One has to realize that in recruiting, a hiring manager probably goes over 1,000 emails a day. We need to put our best foot forward right away and catch their attention. Again, that's what I do with my nurse spouses. I work hand in hand. It's hard to give you a boilerplate of what I do, but it's definitely more of a personalized level. Create a story on paper. And usually that is, and this is what I always emphasize as well, that's usually just a basic resume that then you're going to tailor to whatever opportunity you're actually looking to apply for. So you're just creating a basis from which we're going to work and tailor your very specific aspects of your work history that apply to that. So it's hard for me to say in a boilerplate way, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. Miata has better words than I do. Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, one of the most important things, of course, is formatting. It's not as important as the story, right? But having a very clean resume. We've shifted into this, and I want to make this clarification so a lot of people understand what ATS tracking is, right? We have shifted into this software system called ATS tracking, applicant tracking system. It is not a scoring system. And a lot of individuals get very confused with that. An applicant tracking system is a system that a lot of companies have adopted, whether it's Fortune 500 companies, whether it's smaller mom and pop companies. And that basically houses your information. It houses your data. There has to be a way to be able to collect that information. We are also experiencing a shortage on the recruitment side. So there's not a lot of people that physically actually look at the resume. So it has to go through this ATS tracking software system first. Now, some companies have adopted a system where they score your resume. Two different things. And really what that is they're taking your resume and they're taking the job description and they are scoring it based upon the key words. The resume that is in the picture, what we did for that particular candidate, job seeker, is we made sure that we looked through the job description. We made sure that we looked through, we do our own back-end research. And that's, of course, looking at the company itself, looking at the partners of that organization. So this resume is tailored specifically for a job at a specific company and similar roles. And we made sure that the keywords were embedded in that resume. So for example, if an employer has a keyword software system that they use, then it would match up those specific keywords, not only in the profile, not only in the actual body of the resume, but also in the core competencies and the technical skills as well. So that's really important, is making sure those keywords are very visible in the resume, but also making sure that using those keywords, you're also telling a story about your experiences, your successes, your achievements, and maybe even some of the challenges that you've had as well.
Yes.
Software is really a big part of the job search now and how companies are evaluating different resumes. And what you were saying about keywords, it's so important. websites work the same way.
Yes, algorithms.
You have a topic, you pick the words that match that topic's question, and then the whole system just kind of does its thing right there. Mom, when you were looking for jobs, did you use any sort of special platform, social media? Tell us about that.
So because we were in Orlando when we arrived, so we kind of planning to come here in Wesley Chapel. This is where my wife and family are. So we were only, well, my wife was only allowed to move after certain months in Advent Health in Orlando at that time. So we waited until that time. So when we moved here in Wesley Chapel, that's where I started looking. But I started looking the same in Advent Health, you know. So I was able to get a job at Advent Health in one of the rehab at that time. So that's where I started. I never, you know, like look far from there, because when I applied right away to their website, they answered right away. So that's where I started. I got the job, you know, like patient care to start with at that time, trained to be a CNA. But then the opportunity arise at that time, because back then in Orlando, Tanya and Meg were saying about that, you know, Kinetics were expanding at that time, and they are looking for people, you know, to do some, you know, like where I am now, onboarding. And then so Tanya came back to me when I've already started there in Adventis at that time. And I said, this is a good opportunity as well for me, because I'll be dealing with nurses. I'll be able to, you know, like impart what we have gone through as a nurse as well. Then I might be able to, you know, tell them my stories as well. And I possibly can help them as well, you know, clinically and adapting in the US. So then that happened. I accepted the job from Kinetics when Tanya offered me the job, and Richard, that was one of my mentors at that time, Ariel. So I've learned a lot from them, and I never struggled. But I think what I can recommend as well with the spouses, because a lot of spouses right now, they're coming, like they're professionals from their own country, but sometimes you just have to get something to get by while waiting for the best opportunity. So I think that's one thing that you have to keep in mind. Maybe you're a manager in a bank or a lawyer back home. You know, I know some professionals like lawyers and doctors back home in the Philippines, but when they arrive here, they just get a job, you know, just to get by while waiting for the other one. That's not going to be your permanent job anyway. So you can always, you know, get the best opportunity here in the U.S. So,
and that's an extremely important point that I'd like to address, Luciana. Again, to touch on my family's history, my grandparents, my grandfather was a very successful businessman in Cuba up until the mid-50s when the communists took over. They basically took everything from us, and my family barely got out of there with their lives. So we were forced to come to the United States, grateful, obviously, to this day. Because it is the land of opportunity, and he had to take menial jobs to support his four children and his wife. This is something that happens, I mean, not as extreme, hopefully, to anybody else, but this is something to anticipate and expect. You might be a software developer, or you might be a bank manager, but the important thing is right now, you have to support your family in pursuing your American dream. Be willing to swallow your pride. Be willing to do whatever you have to do. But this is the land of opportunity. And in time, if you work hard, that will pay off. And, you know, it's all about making life better for the next generation. So please be prepared to keep that in mind.
Well said, Richard. Very well said. Mark, you had to do some of that. You said that earlier as well. What sort of job sites, where did you look for jobs? How did you get them?
I did was check the, I was on using the online and also trying to see around the place where we were staying that before, if they're hiring. I'm going to share this funny thing. I did one time, I walked all through the establishments one day. I just walked all around all the establishments and asked if there's any opening from job openings in their facility. And it was so hot when I went home. My wife said, why are you so wet? I said, why are you so perspiring? And I told her, I went around to all the restaurants and facilities just to ask if there are any job openings. Then I was able to do it while checking the online and the Indeed and all the apps in the computer while I was there in the library, because we have no computer before. So I go to the local library where they have a computer there. And that's what happened. And when we moved to Wesley Chapel, that was the time that I was trying to get a CNA license. When I went to the CNA school, the owner offered me to do the job. And that's it. And everything I did was purely online after that. And when I worked as a case management, that one, my friend referred me to the company and I applied. And when I met Bong, he also introduced me to the Kinetics, where they interviewed me. And that's it. Right now I'm here working as an onboarding specialist for Kinetics.
Also paying it forward, helping people. And what a great story. You're saying that you looked online. And then also it's that networking, right? Yeah. Getting here and getting into the community, meeting people, getting over that language barrier, getting over all those little things that might trip you up, and getting involved, making connections, getting a job that way. You also said Indeed, LinkedIn.
ZipRecruiter.
Right, ZipRecruiter, that's another one. But when we're looking at all these different platforms to search for a job, there are scams out there, right? Miana, what are your thoughts? What are your recommendations on scams?
So one of the things that I always tell my job seekers is if you see a job online, whether it's Indeed, whether it's LinkedIn, Glassdoor, try and find the same job on the company website. Because then you can really be assured that that is an authentic job. I've worked with candidates where they say, why am I getting bombed with all these different, you know, platforms? I say, the reason is because you applied to something, you put in your data, you put in your information somewhere, and now they have access to that data, which is yours. And now they're calling you, they're sending you emails, so on and so forth. The best way to make sure a job is authentic, because now people are getting very creative when it comes to accessing data, yours specifically, is to make sure that you can actually see that job on the company website. And I would actually say, if you can apply for the job on the company website, then by all means, go ahead and do that first.
You said it. I was about to say it right there. If you are a nurse and you want to work for a healthcare facility here in the United States, go to our website and apply, kineticsusa.com/apply. We have many hundreds of healthcare facilities in the United States that we work with, and we place you, we match you with a position in that hospital. You are an employee of the hospital. They're sponsoring your green card or TN visa. You will receive the same benefits, pay as an American nurse. And that's the beauty of it. It's being able to come here and give that opportunity for your family.
We'll be back with the conversation in just a second. There's a wonderful opportunity for you. AMN Healthcare Network is currently recruiting registered nurses around the world to live and work in the United States. To learn more and apply, go to amnhealthcare.com/international. That's amnhealthcare.com/international. On with the show.
Richard, back to you now. We've talked about the resumes. We've talked about looking for a job. Now let's talk about the interview. Sometimes that can be the scariest part. When you are prepping spouses, what do you tell them?
Okay, first of all, I'd like to piggyback on what Miata said vis-a-vis scams. If you ever encounter a site that asks you as an applicant to pay any money at all, close out, run away as fast as you can. That's not how it works. That is a scam. Someone's trying to steal your money. Back to your question. That's a really good one. How do you prepare for an interview? Well, obviously you want to go over everything that, you know, you bring to the table. So that's clear in your head. More specifically, I think the key to a good interview is to demonstrate that you're really involved and interested. What do I mean by that? You need to start asking the hiring manager a set of questions. What are the metrics by which I am going to be held to account? How will you be measuring my success? What do you expect me to be doing on a day-to-day, week-to-week, monthly basis? Don't go in and ask questions like, when can I get a bonus? When can I get vacation? When can I get, you know, promoted? You want to demonstrate your interest in that specific role and ask role-specific questions. Again, these are things that I'd be more than happy to help our nurses' spouses on a one-to-one basis. And hopefully I'm currently trying to drive a Kinetics to a place where we can implement a ongoing specific person that can help our nurses with that. It'll probably end up being me. But I think that this is really, you know, going to be part and parcel of providing full service to our nurses so that they can have their entire family can be successful here in the United States.
I love you. Put your hand up. Put your hand up in the air. Raise the roof. There you go. Raise the standard. Miata, what is your advice for spouses who are preparing for an interview? And also, what can they expect during an interview?
So definitely piggyback off what Richard said. The process is overwhelming, even for people who are great interviewers. So, but you will always make a mistake, right? But I think one of the things that I always start off with when I am coaching a job seeker is to let them know, and what Richard said, you are part of this process just as much as the employer. And you don't have to commit to anything. You don't have to feel as if that the weight is on your shoulders if you make or break the interview. You are basically interviewing the employer as much as they are interviewing you. And once you have that foundation, then I think it's easier to kind of breathe and kind of get into your space and say, okay, well, you know what? I'm interviewing this employer as well. So that the answers that employer gives me makes me make better educated decisions as to the position I would like to see myself in. One of the things that companies are really steering into is not only cultural competency, but cultural diversity. And if your values resonate, I always say you have to do your research on the company. You want to find a company that resonates with your values. One of the pushes that happened in COVID is that, I don't know if it was the Gen Z or the millennials or whatever the case might be, but there was this huge, you know, huge movement where people were just quitting. Quiet quitting is what they called it, right? Quiet quitting. And individuals were leaving companies because they felt that their values were not represented in that organization. And it doesn't matter if you're working for Walmart, if you're working for Target, if you're working for a gas station, right? As an intermediary position, it is important to find a company that values what you are looking for internally. Because the one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to have burnout at a job. You don't want to feel as if you're just a number at a job. In the sense we are, but we don't want to feel like that. And we want the person or the individual that is interviewing us to have an understanding that those are the important things that you're looking for. So when you're on the interview, you also want to ask questions about, you know, what do you do to enrich your organization? Do you offer different types of enrichment programs? If you're looking to go back to school, do you offer any types of programs that assist with continuing education, things of that nature? So whatever it is that you embody in terms of your value system, make sure those questions are addressed. Not only the structure of the business, you know, how are you going to evaluate my work performance, but also the things that really resonate with you.
And I right. just to piggyback on Miata one more time.
I love we're all piggybacking. This is great.
She speaks excellent words. Interview engagement is really, really critical. I try and tell this to all the people that I'm coaching all the time. If you can imagine, you know, two people, person A, person B, have the exact equal qualifications that they bring to the job interview. the person that actually engages the hiring manager will be the one inevitably that gets the job. You ask them questions. This demonstrates your engagement level. You know, there's inevitably a time, you know, the end of the interview where the hiring manager says, do you have any questions? If you have no questions, as opposed to the person that has, you know, four or five, I often coach to at least have three. That person that's asking questions is actually demonstrating an interest and engagement in that interviewing process. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, that's the person that's going to get that job. You know, when they say, oh, are you done, Richard? Do you have any questions? No, I'm cool. See ya. You know, I'm probably not going to get that job. But if I say, you know, again, what are the metrics of my success? What are, you know, six month goals for my position? And yes, I'm more technically oriented than Miata with, you know, what are your engagement and what are your benefits? But again, the key is that you're demonstrating engagement, and hiring managers will key in on that, and you will make the impression that will get you the job.
Bong, tell us about your interviewing experience and what advice can you give to spouses who are starting to interview for jobs?
Based on my experience as well with the, you know, say interviewing, you just have to, like what Richard said, you have to, you know, bring your expertise on the table, like selling, you know, selling something. So if you'll be selling yourself, so everything that describes you and that elevates you, that will add into, you know, like an asset into the company. That's I think one thing that they're looking for as well. And always be positive on your answers, and because sometimes I think the managers or interviewers, they will feel if there's, you know, like a resistance as well when they're asking some questions. So you have to be positive all the time, and bring a, you know, like a clear expertise that you can add up into the company, be an asset rather than, you know, like a liability to them when they hire you. I think that's one thing that's very important. And whatever is there on the table, you accept it. And then, because sometimes, like me at that time, there were times that, you know, I accept the job, but I don't know all the parts of this job, like in onboarding, but I accepted the job and I was open to learn things. I was open to grow. So I think you have to accept that part as well, that you have to be open and you're willing to go through in every way that you will learn the position that you're going to be offered.
Mark, it seemed like, or actually you said before, that you came in and you started working, you started networking in the community, met Bong. How did you go about making friends, getting involved in the community? Because not everybody is just a firecracker of energy and talkative, and sometimes there's a language barrier. What did you do to make friends, to make your place in your community and get started?
Well, because when I was in the Philippines before, I used to work as a medical representative. So I used to meet a lot of people, doctors, pharmacists, security, hospital administrators, people, everybody, health centers. So I get to talk to people a lot. So when I came here, I tried to make myself, try to reach out to all my friends who are here. And also when we transferred to this community, I was already having a couple of friends. I usually concentrate on my Filipino friends, and they introduced me to others. And when we arrived on this community, I met Bong, and I was part like a ambassador to this community of ours, where we have a couple of Filipino families here. So that's what I really do. I love to interact. So when I hear some things, openings or job openings before, I try to interact with them and ask them how could I apply on that. So when Bong offered me this job, I really don't know what's onboarding about, but I told myself I'm going to try it. And when I already started working, I realized it's like it's like also a medical representative thing. You're marketing, you're selling the company, and you're also helping people, especially the nurses that are coming here. They're really having, if they hear what you're telling them, your experience-wise, it really helps them a lot because they're so overwhelmed. And when they arrive here, they say, at least there's somebody that they can talk to going their transition from the other country going here in the United States.
That's absolutely beautiful. I want to give everybody a chance for one final piece of advice. Richard, what advice can you give nurses and their spouses and their families all over the world looking to come to the United States?
Don't give up. Let us work with us. Let us help you. We'll get you to the United States. We will help you pursue your American dream. Don't give up.
We have done it for thousands and thousands of nurses, and it does take some guts. It takes guts. Miata, final piece of advice.
Just be open to new opportunities, because that one opportunity could lead you to the next dream job.
Keep dreaming. Fong, mm-hmm. What's your final piece of advice to spouses everywhere?
Well, I've got two advices on everybody. Stay committed and stay consistent on your American dream, and it will take you through.
Hippie.
American dream, your beautiful house with you and your family. That is living the dream right there. Mark, what can you tell all of our spouses all over the world and their nurses?
They need to stay positive. There will always be hiccups on the road coming here, but there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. So you just have to be positive in all the things and try to learn to adapt new ways, because you could land your dream job in the future if just you have to be calm and be positive. United States is a land of opportunity, so you could always do any things here when you're here in the United States.
You can do anything you want to do. I am the daughter of two immigrants that came from Brazil as healthcare workers to the United States. I was born here, so I am that next generation that's starting that new thread of opportunity. It can happen for you. It can happen for your family. So remember, kineticsusa.com/apply, and we can help you get your journey started. So thank you so much to this wonderful panel for joining us, for sharing your experiences. We really loved having you.
Anytime.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
If you enjoyed the episode, go ahead and hit the follow button on your podcast player and leave us a review. AMN Healthcare International is currently recruiting registered nurses around the world to live and work in the United States. We offer both direct hire and staff recruitment, giving you more options and flexibility to begin your American dream. To learn more and apply, go to amnhealthcare.com/international. There's also a link in the description. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for more incredible conversations.